Okay. You guys doing all right?
Amen.
Amen? Huh? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Our Christmas parties are very, very good. And we'll be doing that Yankee swap thing. No fights. It's just a present. You get what you get. I mean, we've had some good ones.
That's why I switched the microphone.
We've had some real good ones in the past, though. It's really, really fun. We had a great time also with outreach yesterday. We had 7 people out in the streets, and it was just an amazing time. Just talking and just, you know, hearing what's on people's heart. Have you ever just stopped to listen a little bit? Because they'll tell you what's on their heart. And can we be sensitive enough to be able to pick that up, to give a word in season, a timely word, a precious word that can be received by their spirit. This is what communication's about. So be sensitive. There are many that are hurting this time of year. Just be sensitive to people. And it's just so amazing to be out there in the streets. I like when people say, wait, we just hit this street. You're going to get brand new people today. Don't worry about where you're at. Just let's go. So let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. And that the Word of God still speaks to our hearts so clearly. And we just thank you for every single person that you've promised that you will pour out from heaven upon us. Bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we brought up a question to you, if you remember. And it was, when was the first time that you heard that God loved you? Remember the message last week? When was that first time that you heard it? Not just heard it, that you could respond to that calling or that invitation. Because it was an invitation of love. And what that means is it was meant for you personally. And by faith, we learn to respond to what God has for us. And that we should love the Lord thy God, right? With all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might. And then we learn to love others. So today we have another question. And today the question is, how does the word speak to you? And I give you questions like this so we take it with us in our week. So how does the word speak to you in a way that it affects you? Does God's word affect you through your day, through your week, through your morning, through your times of trouble? Does it affect you? Does it have a bearing on you? Does it come up when situations start to oppose that word? You know, where trials come, or a situation come, or a little storm. Does the word still have that same effect when things are going good? Should it, and does it? And it does, because God's word speaks. God's word speaks to us. And are we hearing that still small voice? Do we hear it? Do we hear that word? Turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Everybody there?
Amen.
Verse 3. And the word of God says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, My lips shall praise thee, because thy loving kindness is better than life. It's better than life. You know, this psalm was written when David was on the run. And it's both ways. He could have been on the run from Saul, or he could have been on the run from Absalom. And it doesn't matter. The bottom line is he was alone, he was isolated, and he was in fear of his life. And then, on top of that, he was, verse 1 and 2 says, he was also in the wilderness, and the elements were against him. Situations were against him. Life was against him. It seems like I'm all alone. Nobody's with me. And all that comes into the mind during this time. And it creates disturbances within our own soul. Because we don't know what is going to take place. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what to expect. We don't know what's coming our way. And he says this. He says that my soul thirsts. Now, two things here. He was physically thirsty, but also in this time of trouble, in this time of separation and desperation and loneliness and despair, his, you know, physically thirsty, but spiritually thirsting and craving God. A time where he would look and say, I am thirsty for you. My soul is so thirsty for the things of God. He says, I'm also in a land that is thirsty. In verse 2. I'm in a land that is dry, and the land itself is thirsty, which means there's no resources that are coming from the surroundings that I'm in. And this is where he is positioned himself. But he has time to go to God, and he says, and this thought comes into his mind because the word of God was deposited within him. And he can reflect on God's word. And verse 2, he says, it's like that I miss your glory. I miss your power. I miss your glory. I miss your presence in the sanctuary. I miss being in church. I miss your people. That satisfied me. That satisfied me more than the need of water, physical water. I got more satisfaction from being in the presence of God, in God's sanctuary, in God's, amongst God's people, in his body. And then he comes and says, thy loving kindness is greater than life, or better. And what does life do? What is your life? And how about this? What do you search in life for? Because life is only but a search. Because we don't know what we're coming to. So it becomes a search. And I look for this and I look for this. And it's always the same results in our mind. The look and the final results, hopefully, is happiness. And I want life to deliver that to me. I expect life to deliver that. And I expect life to bless me. And I expect life to make me happy. And it should provide for me. And it should give me this. I deserve it. And unfortunately, life doesn't treat you that way. And it could for a temporary time. But life is always temporal. Life will always be temporal. Loving kindness is always eternal. But we search so deeply for the temporal things, whether they're in education, whether they're in my job, whether they're in, whether they're in all of this stuff. Let's no moving around, please. It's disrupting. So life, we search for things in life, and our search opens up to many avenues. It becomes a search, and whatever the soul needs at that time, that's going to be my search for the day. But it will never fulfill. It will leave you wanting more. This is what brings back tomorrow's day. Well, I didn't get what I wanted yesterday, but maybe today's my day. Maybe today I will experience peace. Maybe today I'll experience happiness. But thy loving kindness is better than that. And think of what this loving kindness is. That's verse 3, right? Yeah, thy loving kindness. Thy loving kindness. Loving kindness is beauty that is beauty that is shown to us or described to us in the form of the cross. God says this life that you search for, your happiness, you'll find great disappointment. But you can find beauty in my loving kindness and the experience of the cross, does it? This is what God decided to choose. That we will find things of life, we will find the beauty and the loving kindness in the cross. This old, rugged, beat up, device that was used, and it would be blood stained, but this was the device that God the Father would use to redeem mankind. And as Christmas comes, and it was the start of the plan of introducing the Messiah as a baby. But the final results would be the loving kindness of God, the cross. And how it was used. And Jesus Christ would submit to that. And all the sins of the world would be poured out upon that cross, upon Christ, and upon his cross. And it would redeem mankind. And many would be saved. And it would deal with all of our issues of life. The cross would deal with the issues that we are searching for in the form of the cross. And so we come to that cross and we're forgiven our sins, and it doesn't end there. Because this is beauty. And beauty comes also in the resurrection. There's this amazing beauty in the resurrection. It's the after effects of the cross. And this is where we receive forgiveness and mercy and grace. Just from that one piece of wood, this barren with it's rugged and it's jagged and it's and this is why the cross can become so beautiful for the believer that gets this picture. All forgiveness, all mercy, all grace. And this is what people search for in life. They look for this, and they don't know where to find it. And then he makes this beauty even a treasure, so that Christians even afterward will continue to search, looking for a treasure as we look for something that's hidden. But Colossians 2:3 says, everything is hidden in Christ. In Christ is hidden all the wisdom of God. So we start to search. We have this amazing beauty, and then this beauty uncovers treasures of life. Not life itself, the new life. And this is why David could so confident in the time of struggle and heartache and despair and loneliness and separation in a wilderness of things that are empty and dry. He could proclaim so confident that thy loving kindness is better than life, because it delivers. It delivers you across. It delivers you loving kindness, and it delivers you a treasure. The beauty. In Psalm 61:3, he says, I give you beauty for ashes. What do we offer? Ashes. Ashes. Useless ashes. And he says, keep searching and seeking after me. Keep looking for these treasures of life, and they will open up to amazing beauty. The loving kindness of God. A love that continues to go after. Continues to seek us out. Continues to draw us by his cords of love that can never ever be broken. The loving kindness. The treasures of the beauty of God. Okay, so let's turn, if you have your Bibles. You with me?
Yes.
1 John. It's good to have Pastor Keith back.
Yes.
He was in Pastor Drew's church last week. In Tennessee. I reckon. Okay. Let's think about this. 1 John chapter 2. And in this chapter, John, the Apostle John, is addressing there's three subjects that he's going to address. He's going to address little children. He's going to address young men. And he's going to address fathers. And we can be in each one of those. And so he's going to combine this message, and it really sounds like he starts to address them all in his presence, not individually, even though it can be individual message also. But I think they're all there. And in verse 7, he says, I write to you no new commandment, but I'm going to give you a commandment of old. See that? This isn't nothing new. This is something that is old. But the old is the new. This old thing that we're describing, it's not old at all. It's so brand new for us. And it's even new for us now, even though it was written from the beginning of time. But it's new because the Holy Spirit gives it its newness. And it makes it fresh for us. And he says, look at this. He says, you heard this. You've heard this old. From the beginning you've heard this. But it's new. You haven't heard this. And he says, and the commandment is this. The word. That's it. It's the word. This is what's new. So many people are looking for something new. I need something new, and I'm searching in life for that new. But it can't be found in life. Because your loving kindness is what? Better than life. But we search for life for it. Life has the answers to everything new. We got new technology. We got new designs. We got new this. It's not new. It's nothing that's new that's under the sun. But God's word is new. God's word is fresh. God's word is new. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he came unto his own. That word came unto his own, and his own would receive him not. But those that did receive him, he would give them power to be called sons and daughters of God. The newness of the power of God's word. This is what we make new. This becomes part of our search for the beauty and the treasure of God. It's all here. We look for answers so many other places. We look for love in all the... You guys are listening to too much. We do, though. But it's new. The Word of God is new. And you've heard that from the beginning. Now look at this. Look at verse 8. This is so good. He says, again, a new commandment. So now he goes and says, okay, it is new, so let's call it new. Even though it was old, let's call it new again. Because it will be new every time you hear it new. It's always new. I remember talking with Pastor Foster and even Pastor Shabelli about this. We were talking. And I was saying, I was struggling putting together a message. It was Saturday, 12:30, 1 o'clock, still nothing for Sunday. And, the great thing about Pastor Foster, and by the way, it would have been his birthday today. I could call him anytime, and he's right. Yep. Just like that. I mean, it was amazing. I go, don't you sleep? He goes, how can I? You keep calling at this time. But I said, I don't have nothing. I've preached every message. I'm so done. I don't have nothing more. And you could hear him on the other line just laughing. Because when Pastor Foster laughed, I mean, he would shake and move. And he would laugh. He goes, I said that same thing 34 years ago. And God is still faithful. Yes. Ain't that amazing? Yes. So it's his word that becomes new. It becomes new. Now look at this. So again, a new commandment I write unto you. The things that are true in him. I write a new commandment, and those things are true in him. Which means out of him, nothing's true. In him is true. Truth is found in Christ. We want truth from sources. We want truth from life. Life should be truthful to me. Loving kindness is better than life. Now look at this. So, the things which are true in him and now in you, because Christ is in you. Now look at this. Because the darkness is past. Say that. The darkness is past, and the light now shines. Wow. That is new. And here's the thing. Because our past will cripple us. We can't get beyond it. We can't even move forward because it's swallowing up all my thinking. And I look for life to give me the answers to the past. And the Bible says that I've already did. And it's called the cross. Even Paul said that, right? In Philippians, he says, one thing I had to learn to do. There's no writing of the Gospels until I learned to do this, forgetting the things that are behind. It cripples you. Not one person in this room can do anything to change their past. Not one thing. It's already been dealt with at the cross. And this is what the new commandment and the new life now becomes about. Living in the new and not allowing the old to affect it. Not living in the darkness. The darkness is past. It's dark. We understand that. Close it to that darkness. Live in the light. Live in the newness of the light. Live in what God is doing for you now. Live in forgiveness. Just live in it. And watch your whole thinking change. So because darkness is past and the true light now shines. Verse 9, he say that he is in light and hates his brother is in darkness. You say you're living in light and you hate your neighbor. You hate, you're in darkness. You're in deception. And I like this, verse 10. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. There's no stumbling in him. Darkness causes stumbling. You put something here in front of me, and this is all dark, and I'm tripping over it. I'm going to keep tripping over. The next day I come in, it's still dark. I'm tripping over. I'm stumbling. Things in the darkness cause me to stumble. But something's different about the light. Now the light illuminates that darkness. And boy, oh, this is what I was stumbling over all the time. Let me walk around it. I'm not stumbling no more. Why? It's not that I can see, even though I can, but something's changed. Illumination changes the whole situation. Now things are illuminated. My perception is now different. I'm seeing things different because of light. I have light now in myself. I've got light within me. I don't have that dark. Darkness is past. Let it pass. Now live in that light. Because now your perception is completely changed. And when your perception changes, something else changes. Your thinking. I'm not thinking the same way no more. I'm not thinking about things that are doing damage to me. And this is why David is so amazing. Wait a minute. I am in this area and I am secluded and I am surrounded by wilderness. And I don't even feel the presence of God. I'm craving after your presence. I'm also thinking of the people of God. I don't have that no more. He had to change that perception. Because if you don't change it, darkness will allow you to keep thinking upon it. And then you're stumbling. You're going through life stumbling. You're tripping over everything that there is. Because you can't see it. And this is why we need the light. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not where he even goes, for darkness has blinded his eyes. And here's a person who's walking in light, but they're walking in darkness because there is no light. There is no spirit that has illuminated their spirit. The spirit of man is in darkness. And so it's, I don't even know where I'm going. I'm just like walking in circles. I might have plans and goals and thinking where I'm going, but it's like a lost case. It's a lost sense of reality. What you're walking in is not reality. The world is not reality. What we see here is not, this is temporal focus. Our minds need to be on things above. Our mind on things above become eternal. It's an eternal mindset, not a temporal sight thought process. So he's blinded. Now here's where it starts in verse 12. And he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So here's the first address to the little children. And it's so important for a little child. And this could be a new believer even. But it's so important for that little child to know, the first thing we need to know, our sins are forgiven. How do we go anywhere without knowing that and believing what Christ did? Not believing that Christ did that is really against the whole Trinity and against God. It becomes even an idol, because you're rejecting the finished work of Jesus Christ. You're saying, oh, that was a great event, but there's things that I need to do. And either it is finished or it is undone. Yes. And if it's undone, now it depends upon you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do for God? Oh, I just did this, 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 and this. Well, the bar is now elevated because you're putting yourself under law. It is finished or it's not. It's complete or it's incomplete. It's not half done. God didn't do a little, now you do your part. We already went that route and we failed in Adam. So, now look at the continuous flow here in 13 and 14. I'm going to read them both. And I'm going to go fast just on purpose. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And he repeats it. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides within you and you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children. I write unto you, young men. I write unto you. And it's a circle of events that becomes deep ingrained in all of us, that we must know that we are overcomers. Okay, we are overcomers. That's what we are. And the message today is, don't be a stumbler, be an overcomer. Because if we're not overcoming, we're stumbling. And we're going to go through life stumbling at everything that comes our way. Everything is going to be a hindrance. Everything is going to be a stumbling block. Remove it. Turn the light on. Have the Holy Spirit. Be in God's Word. Does the Word affect you? Does the Word touch you? There is a victory, the Bible says, that overcomes the world. And here's your question. It's not the problems that you have, because we're all faced with them. And we're all, you know, we can all name them and quote them and talk about them. And I mean, if you want to go there, I mean, it's useless. It's ashes. But I mean, there's so many of them. And they trouble us. But why not talk about the victory? Why not talk about there is a victory that overcame the world? And you can live in the defeat. But I think it's so much more beneficial for us to learn to live in the victory. Let's go one more verse to this morning. Turn to the Gospel of John. You guys still here?
Yes.
And by the way, you will never, we are not going to overcome with evil, but we overcome evil with good in Romans 12, verse 3. It's farther down. Romans 12, 20, 21. You can look it up. It's in 12. Get in your Bibles. Okay, John 16. Look at verse 32. Jesus tells his disciples that the hour is coming. And matter of fact, it's even now here. And he says, and you're going to be scattered. You're going to be scattered. And after Gethsemane, they were all scattered. They all fled. They all ran. They all ran. Peter followed from a distance. But then after he denied Christ three times, he was gone too. And then Jesus says, but don't worry about me, because the Father's with me. Isn't that amazing? I love that. And then in 33 says this, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. And there's that position again of being in Christ. So in Christ we have peace. Out of Christ, no peace. It's simple. So in me, you're going to have peace. And remember, this isn't Philippians 4:7. It's not peace that the world gives. Because I give you a different peace. So in me, you're going to have peace. Or in me, you'll have peace. And then he goes on and says, and in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Well, what is that? I mean, you're going to have peace, you're going to have tribulation. But this is so important to have the peace, to be in Christ, to have peace. Because the tribulation is going to, tribulations are going to happen. And then there's going to be a great tribulation, which the world has never seen and will never see again. But there's tribulation. There's situations that happen to us in our life. There are difficulties. There are struggles that we go through. But the promise is not the tribulation. He's not saying, look for the tribulation. Prepare for the tribulation. No, he says, be in me. Because you'll have peace in that tribulation. Amen. And that's what we need. What do we need in the storm? Besides a raincoat, but no, we need peace. We need trust and faith in God. And that's all this peace is. It's a knowing in my heart that God is preparing this. And whatever I go through, he's with me and he'll never leave me or forsake me. Amen. So you're going to have tribulation. And this is why he gave you the peace first. He said, listen, you're going to need peace. In me, you've got that peace. Something's coming, but you're in me. And is there anything so bad that it can overwhelm you and just complete without being in Christ? I mean, whatever's coming, what's the greater? The greater is Christ is with me. Whatever happened, Christ is with me. Even when I got bit, I I'm hobbling. I knew that though. This doesn't look too good, But whatever it is, And Christ gives you this peace. He gives you this peace. And then he tells you, okay, so you're going to have the tribulation. But then he says how to respond and react to that tribulation. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Because I have what? Overcome. And because we are in Christ, it makes us overcomers. You are labeled as an overcomer. You are labeled as an overcomer. Overcomer or underachiever? We're overcomers. We're not underachievers. We're not defeated. We might sometimes act like it. I mean, the way I see some people walking around. Not making it through today. Come on, you're an overcomer. Start thinking differently. Start thinking in the Word. Because the Word, it's nothing we do that makes us underachievers. It's what Christ did for us that makes us overcomers. In the wrap, we can talk about even Revelations and how it's going to show that we are overcomers. You know, we have the ending here. Have you read it? You don't have to be in that fear and that overwhelming. It's because we have Christ. We have Christ. And he says, you know what? Don't worry about that. All that stuff and that garbage is going to happen. Look and see my beauty and keep looking for that treasure. Stay in the beauty of Christ and uncover the treasures that Christ puts before us. Amen. What's it going to be when it opens? What am I going to see today when I open this treasure? Oh my gosh, look at this love and this mercy. Hey, well, I don't like my neighbor. Can't stand the guy next to me. These are church people we're talking about. He's talking to church people. You know, he is. You know what? Just ask God to give you that love for people. You know? It's learnt. We learn this. That's why John said, he goes, listen, I'm giving you a new commandment. It's not new, it's old. You've learned it from the beginning, but you got to relearn it. You know? So God is so good. Amen? All the time. Amen. So be of good cheer. I have overcome. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for your amazing love. We thank you that you show us this amazing beauty, the beauty of the cross, the beauty for each and one of us, and the love and the treasures of life. All the treasures are hid in Christ. If there's somebody here that has never accepted Christ, it's a free gift. Christ gives you this beauty and this treasure. He took your sins upon the cross. If there's somebody here that's never accepted Christ, just lift up your hand, put it down, accept Jesus today. Live in the reality of the finished work, not in the uncertainties of this world. We thank you, Father. Just pray for the all offering, Lord. We pray for missions. And bless our rab today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.